You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, LaBelle, one of the three providers of David Seymour's school lunch program, went into liquidation. The company provided around 125,000 lunches daily. Compass Group, one of the other key providers of the program, stepped in on Friday to acquire and take over LaBelle's operations. Despite this save, Compass Group has been no stranger to issues since the program was launched, with repeated incidents of late or no delivery, melted plastic in food, frozen food, food so hot it burnt children, and ham being given to halal students, to name a few. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to Simon Court about how the liquidation may affect the already controversial program. We also discussed New Zealand First's members bill looking to scrap diversity, equity and inclusion targets, as well as the ACT Party's continued critiques of the University of Auckland's compulsory Te Tiriti o Waitangi course. Last week, one of the providers for the school lunch program, LaBelle, went into liquidation. Compass Group has announced that they're buying it out late last week. Do you have faith that the program's going to be able to continue at the same capacity that it is?
Well, that is a commercial matter between Compass and LaBelle. Compass has ensured Ministry of Education that any disruption will be minimised, and if there is a commercial process, that won't impact the provision of school lunches. And I understand that Compass Group has taken over the operations of LaBelle during this transition and is taking responsibility, as they should do as a lead contractor, for making sure the meals are provided to schools every day.
Yeah, of course that is between the two contractors, but the ACT Party, as the spokesperson for the ACT Party, does the party have faith that it's going to continue to the same level that it is?
Well, faith is not necessary when you have a commercial contract, and I know that speaking as a contract manager and a former construction project manager, what's important is that the contract is enforced and the contractor delivers.
Well, there has been a contract this whole time and Compass Group hasn't been delivering to 100% capacity, so I suppose it could be a matter of faith.
Well, look, I'm sure plenty of New Zealanders would love to get a hot lunch on time every day, but you know what we're talking about is the largest commercial contract for the manufacturing and supply of food in New Zealand. And it's a $340 million a year program under Labor. We've managed to get that back to half the cost. So, you know, while there have been some teething troubles around, you know, standing up the program to meet the demand, that all sits with the contractor, and you know, if they don't perform, then there will no doubt be remedies under the contract. Now, I'm not privy to that, and all I can really add to it is that I know that the lead minister, David Seymour, is you know, fully focused on making sure that the school lunches get delivered on time and to the quality standard, and where they're not, there'll be contractual remedies.
Yeah, you mentioned these teething issues. That's a word that came up a lot yesterday with David Seymour on Q&A. He continued to cite the 97 to 99% on-time delivery rate, which in theory sounds great. But do you think that this fails to acknowledge the 13,000 children that aren't having their lunches delivered on time?
Well, I think that David Seymour made a good point when we were interviewed by Jack Tame yesterday. You're talking about 13,000 children who didn't have their lunches delivered on time, and yet, you know, 580,000 did. So we have two options in New Zealand. We can either focus on nitpicking around the failures, or we can focus on here's the problem we've got. And as a government, we have a whole lot of problems to solve. Believe it or not, school lunch is just one of many. And we can focus on sorting it out. Now, we have a contract. The government has a contract with Compass. There will be contractual obligations. And that's where the effort should be put to make sure the contractor delivers on their obligations.
Yeah, but while it is great that these 580,000 children are getting their lunches, there's still another 13,000 that are having their learning disrupted. Can you not acknowledge that the 13,000 is a large number of children?
Well, I think what you're into is the weeds of averaging. I mean, it's true that on one day, last week, it is correct, that that the lunches in Auckland were only delivered 90% on time. So on that day, you know, 10% of kids didn't get their lunch on time. But there's a whole lot of other factors that go into children succeeding at school. So you know, before the previous government decided to start supplying lunches to hundreds of thousands of children, there were already issues with learning. the fact that kids weren't turning up to school, the quality of education that they were being delivered wasn't meeting their needs. And we know that because just last week, the principals were complaining that the NCEA tests were too hard, and could we please reduce the level of testing so that more students could pass. That's completely the opposite of what this government and what New Zealanders and parents want. Certainly it's sort of what employers want. Now, some children have not had their lunches on time. What is really important to focus on is that we want to get level of performance in the education system significantly increased so we can meet demand for skills, for young people to leave school equipped for the rest of their lives.
Let's move on to our next topic. What are the ACT Party's thoughts on New Zealand First's proposal to scrap DEI initiatives?
Well, I'm not across the detail of that, and I know the ACT team hasn't had a chance to review the detail of this bill, and normally we wouldn't form a position on a bill that's just sitting in the ballot because there's about 60-odd of them. But it's fair to say that ACT would support the principle of merit-based hiring in the private sector, and we certainly wouldn't support quotas around race or ethnicity. What we're focused on is making sure that employers, both in the public and private service, private sector, get the best applicants and have the best people for the job.
So the ACT Party would be in favour of also scrapping these initiatives?
Well, when we just look at procurement, for example, Labor and government introduced an 8% target for Māori owner businesses receiving government contracts. Now, that was leading from what I was hearing from people involved in civil contracting and construction, for example, to some really unhelpful conversations with local government and central government procurement operators saying, could you please demonstrate that, your business is at least 50% Māori owned? I mean, what are people supposed to do? Advertise for a Māori owner to come into their business simply so that they can continue on with the construction contract. But that is certainly not the right way for New Zealand to be going, and that's why this government cancelled that program.
Right, let's move on to our last topic. The ACT Party has once again lashed out at the University of Auckland's compulsory Te Tiriti o Waitangi course. Why does the ACT Party not believe it's important for young people in Aotearoa to understand Te Tiriti and how it integrates into our life?
Well, for many of us, we don't need to understand Te Tiriti, and we certainly don't need to integrate it into our lives when we're going about our daily business and making sure our kids get to school on time, we get to work on time, we deliver for the businesses that we're working in. And if you think about what this mandatory course is doing, it's actually damaging the university's reputation amongst international students who we rely on to pay full fees and subsidise the costs for local students. I mean, a student who comes to Auckland University who speaks English as a second language and only plans to stay in New Zealand for the duration of their study gets no benefit whatsoever from being forced into a compulsory paper to study local Indigenous belief systems. When students have flexibility in their schedules, they can choose whatever electives align with their academic or personal interests. They should have that choice. This program should not be compulsory.
You don't think people in Aotearoa need to understand Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
Look, the Treaty of Waitangi, Te Tiriti, was signed between the Crown and various iwi and hapu in 1840. It really has very little impact on everyday New Zealanders' lives, despite the rhetoric that we hear from those who would claim that that everything must be seen through the lens of the treaty, the lens of colonisation. That is not how most people live their lives. And it's certainly not helpful to say a university which once was New Zealand's highest international ranked university is now forcing a compulsory tikanga course on students. And from what I've heard from people who've actually participated or had to attend the course is that the first thing is there's no agreement on what the tikanga is. So what on earth are people being forced to learn? It also sounds like there's no opportunity for lecturers or those delivering the course to challenge the course content. When I studied briefly at Auckland University politics and history, it was expected that students in lectures or certainly in tutorials would challenge the course content and the lecturer's understanding of it. I mean, that's what academic freedom's all about, and that's what ACT supports, which is why we think this course should be scrapped.
I will just bring up some examples. You say you don't know what's in the course and how it's relevant. Well, in the Faculty of Business and Economics, the paper uses Māori-owned business as a case study to demonstrate knowledge systems relevant to business. And in Arts and Education, the paper explores how histories and cultures inform diverse knowledge underpinning art and creative practices.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, you know, I chose to study civil engineering because I thought it was important that, you know, we know how to build bridges and roads and make sure they're durable. I'm not sure how a course on Indigenous belief systems would have helped me or helped any of the agencies that, you know, I was contracting to deliver better roads and bridges. But, you know, maybe we'll leave that for students to decide. I mean, if they turn up at Auckland University next year to do this compulsory course in the same numbers, maybe the proof's in the pudding.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Kaur on the school lunch program provider going into liquidation, New Zealand First Anti-DEI Members Bill, and the ACT Party critiques of the University of Auckland's Te Tiriti course.
That was Simon Kaur from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.